We're pulling back the curtain, looking inside the world of poll workers in Wisconsin who carry out our state elections. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. A state law has been on the books for a long time. It requires clerks to use lists submitted by the Democratic and Republican parties when they hire poll workers. But the parties provide far fewer names than what clerks need, and that's where we get curious as to how this works to fill out staffing rosters. Have you ever been a poll worker? What polling site did you work at? What did you find to be challenging or rewarding in this job? How were you treated by voters? We're at 800-642-1234. Diane Conan is president of the Wisconsin Municipal Clerks Association. She's also the city clerk for the city of Oconomowoc. Diane, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hello. Thank you, Kate.
So Democrats and Republicans are creating these lists of possible poll workers to give to you city clerks. They have until November 30th to submit these lists. What does this entail? What does this list include?
The list that I have received give you names of individuals who are willing to be poll workers in my community, and it basically just gives a name, a phone number, you know, how we can contact them, their address, and a short, brief, if you will, paragraph from the party saying that they are nominating these individuals to be poll workers on election day.
So the parties are kind of like your recruitment agency, if you will.
To a degree, they provide a list of names, but that list can have one name on it, and it could have 20 names on it. It just depends who's in your area or in your county that they can find as, you know, party members that want to be poll workers.
Yeah, in your history as a city clerk, how consistent is the quantity on these lists from election to election?
It's a low quantity. I have four polling locations, and on an average, you have seven poll workers that work at each location. So for me, I need 28 just to fill the polls, my polls, and then, you know, you need some backup because things do happen. You know, people get ill, things like that, so you need coverage for backup. And I would say my lists have probably no more than 10 names on them.
How is this system, Diane, supposed to create fairness at the polls, to create a professional setting?
It can work if the poll worker is someone who truly wants to work the polls and who is committed to working every election, and we can have anywhere from one to four elections a year. Of course, if there's a special election, something like that, you could have more, but typically it's one to four elections. And I find that those individuals, most of those individuals on the list, do want to work. They do want to do their civic duty, and they do it to the best of their ability. However, you also get names on the list where they really, they might work an election or two, but then they really don't want to do the elections anymore, or they can only do some because they're not available. So it does get hard to manage if you don't have that commitment.
Tell us about some of the roles that they have at the polling place, because I often think of the poll workers as the people taking my ID and making sure I sign in the right place in the book. But there are other roles. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. I have labeled my roles. We have the registration table. So an individual who comes in and is not registered already as a voter, they need to get registered. So you have registration poll workers. Then I call the next station my poll book station, and that would be where you are already registered. You present your photo ID. You give your name, your address. The workers find you in the poll book. Then they will issue you a voter number, and then you go to the next station, which is my ballot initialing station, and the voter exchanges their voter number for a paper ballot, typically a paper ballot. There is also an ADH machine, but they will then get their ballot and go to the booth and vote. And then you have a chief inspector who is in charge of the polls, and they're typically watching over the voting equipment in case, say, for instance, a ballot would reject from the machine. Then they can go over there, read the message, and assist the voter as to why their ballot rejected. They also are in charge of all the paperwork and the opening of the polls and closing of the polls. So your chief inspector can do everything. Some polls have greeters. When you walk in, you are greeted by an individual who will help direct you to where you need to go. And that is the typical positions at a polling place on election day.
Which political party can have more poll workers at a site?
It would be the party that had the majority votes at the general election. So whether it be the gubernatorial or the presidential, depending on which, what year it is, that would be the party that can have one more party-affiliated worker at the polls.
Why do you find people enjoy being poll workers? What's the draw?
For me, the poll workers that work for the city of Oconomowoc, they want to do, they're the type who like to volunteer. They want to do their civic duty. They enjoy the process. They don't mind working the long hours. They see neighbors and friends or maybe family members at the polls because a lot of these individuals are active in the community in other ways, and so they know so many people. And because it is only 1 to 4 times a year, it's not obviously taking a lot of their time away from other things that they have to do in their lives.
We're talking about poll workers, polling sites, and going into Inside with Diane Conan on staffing. She's president of the Wisconsin Municipal Clerks Association. Time for your questions, your thoughts. Have you ever served as a poll worker? What did you find to be challenging or rewarding in this position? How did voters treat you? Join in at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Diane, what was your journey like becoming a city clerk, and now that you're so involved in the Municipal Clerks Association as president?
I started working in a village. It was a part-time position, and the reason I applied for that position is my husband and I own a business in that community, and so I was able to go from my position as a village clerk, deputy clerk, over to our business because I did the payroll and all those other things for the business. And so it was just a nice transition for me. Little did I know that I would really, really enjoy doing the work that I did. And so after 6 years, I decided to apply for a job in the city of Oconomowoc, and it was a full-time job. And I was hired, and approximately a year and a half later, I became their professional clerk, and I've been doing that job ever since. And as part of becoming a professional clerk, you can earn your certifications, and there's always continuing education because laws do change. We need to stay up on those laws. And I just found that education so rewarding and the networking that I've continued my journey, constantly getting educated and going to conferences and seminars and off-site classes, you know, where you would just go for one day to a specific subject on a class. And I've met so many wonderful people, and the community I work for is wonderful. I mean, I couldn't ask for a better elected body and all my coworkers. So I've stayed in it.
What are the greatest challenges that you see city clerks face and what you hear out there from other cities?
one of the biggest challenges for all municipal clerks is that when laws are passed that directly affect the work we do, we haven't been able to truly have a voice at the table to give some input in how that would affect not only our community, but our jobs, our roles as clerk and trying to administrate the jobs that need to be done. And following some of the laws sometimes is a bit challenging. Sometimes it's financial challenges. Sometimes it's staffing challenges. But I think that is overall the biggest challenge for municipal clerks, is not having a voice at the table.
And when you carry out these laws, one of the laws in terms of poll workers is that they have to meet some requirements. What are the requirements to be a poll worker?
Well, you have to live within the county of a polling place you would work at. So, for instance, for the city of Oconomowoc, we are in Waukesha County. So any poll worker can live within any municipality in that county, and they are able to work at any of the polling places. They also have to be a citizen. If they are a chief inspector, they have to be a citizen of your municipality. So there's a little bit different requirements for a chief inspector versus a poll worker, which is an election inspector as well, but not the chief. And
we're going to pause. And they need to be 18. Is that
right?
Yeah. I knew that was coming out there. We're talking about poll workers with the Oconomowoc City Clerk, Dan Conan, who is president of the Wisconsin Municipal Clerks Association. You can join in 800-642-1234. Back in a moment with Diane Conan here on the Ideas Network. We're looking at the inner workings of how polling sites are staffed with the help of the city clerk of Oconomowoc. Nearly all states require a partisan makeup for their staffing of poll workers to help ensure elections are fair and unbiased and professional. We're learning how it works here in Wisconsin with your questions. What do you want to know about poll workers and their duties? What questions do you have? Have you ever served as a poll worker? What was it like? Join in 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. And City Clerk Diane Conan stays with us. She also leads the Wisconsin Municipal Clerks Association. Let's go to the phones now. Mark is joining us from Nina. Hi, Mark.
Hi there.
So what's your story about polling sites?
Well, I was in Nina, and I took my daughter the first time she ever voted about 6 months ago or 8 months ago. I can't remember. And it's really, I don't know if they're really supposed to do this or not, but the poll leaders announced that she was a first-time voter, and the entire group of people in the voting area all clapped for her and kind of hooted and hollered. And it was really wonderful for her. She really felt special. So
yeah.
I just wanted to say that there's some really, really cool, dedicated people that work there. So that's all I have to say.
Mark, thank you so much for the story. Diane, really setting the tone there that voting is important.
Yes, it is. And the workers do everything they can to make sure that every individual who walks into the polling place can cast their ballot. And, you know, it means a lot to them to be able to provide that service. And I haven't met one poll worker who truly doesn't love to work the polls. I did want to add one thing, if I could, Kate, about the qualifications to be a poll worker. Just quickly, one of the qualifications is that the person cannot be a candidate for any office that is being voted on at that election. They need to be able to read and write English language. And besides being a citizen of the United States, they need to reside in that election district, so wherever that polling place is, for at least 10 days.
Well, let's bring in another call now. Tom joining us from Port Wing. Hi, Tom.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, I serve as a poll worker, and we oftentimes serve a little bit of snacks and so forth, and it's a great time to reconnect with people in the community. But my question is, I believe there's a real appearance of fairness when you divide it up amongst, well, say, Democrats and Republicans. And my question is this, what do you do when you have a community where it's predominantly Democrat or predominantly Republican, and you really can't find the opposing workers in terms of party affiliation?
Thanks so much for that question, Tom. Diane, what do you do?
We also have poll workers on our list that are nonpartisan. And as much as we would hope that the parties would each give us a pretty good size list so we can have each of the party represented, when you don't get the list, you use your nonpartisan workers, and that's really all you can do. And those individuals have not declared a party, but they are they take an oath to do the best job that they can and keep it fair and impartial at any job that they're doing.
Tom found community and camaraderie with fellow poll workers. Do you find, Diane, that they return again and again to the job over the years, over the decades?
I do. I have workers who have worked over 20 years, and they love doing it. They just truly do. And it takes training. You know, they need to go through training. So they also, besides working the polls, they commit to coming in for training. I do my own training here at my city hall, and so and they enjoy it. They I never get flack, so they're very willing to do whatever I ask.
Is it paid training?
For our city, we do not pay for the training. We do pay to be a poll worker on election day.
What goes into the training? What do they need to learn?
I train all my election inspectors on each of the jobs at the polls, so registration, poll book, and ballot. And the chief inspector gets a separate training, but I also train them on the paperwork because the paperwork is a big part of the polls. And then, of course, we work on opening the polls, closing the polls, and we talk about things that happened on the previous elections that, you know, could help them in case they run into a situation, how they would deal with it, how and handle it.
What types of situations might they encounter or that you really want them to understand how to handle?
A voter would come in, they would give their name and address, and it does not match the address in the poll book. So then they try to determine if the poll worker has moved. So in order to do that, they will call our office. I'm not at the polls because they're off-site from City Hall, and we will look in the file, and we will see what that last voter registration shows as an address. And so then they have to sometimes, the voter has to re-register because they have moved. And sometimes they may not be voting at that polling location, so then they'll have to direct them to where they do go to vote.
We're discussing poll workers with Diane Conan. She's president of the Wisconsin Municipal Clerks Association. And you have a line as to what you want to know about being a city clerk. 800-642-1234. Diane, last month, the new Wisconsin Election Security Council held its first meeting to look at cybersecurity. Should voters be concerned about election security in Wisconsin at the polls?
I don't think they should be concerned as to feel panicked about it. There's always the threat of security breaches, but the Wisconsin Elections Commission has been and is working diligently to make sure that all municipalities have updated software, firewalls, IT support, and that each individual community is also working to ensure. We have our own IT department, so for instance, for us, Our IT department is on top of making sure that we are secure and safe. And the process is more manual than I think people know. And so if it's a manual process, there's nobody able to get into that.
How do you find your technology to be? Do you see that computer equipment and computer systems are up to date?
For the most part, they are. But you do have some very small communities, very rural. They have limited financial means. They don't have IT people on staff. So those are the instances where it's not a lot of communities, but those are the instances when you're only as strong as your weakest link. So Wisconsin Elections Commission is reaching out to make sure that they have what they need to be protected.
So circling back to the polling lists and when you need to have your final list together, what is the timeline there?
Each community may print their poll list on a different day before the election. We print ours on Fridays. So any individual who has either mailed in a registration or come to the clerk's office on the Friday before an election, we get that entered and they will be in the poll list. After that time, they will not show up in the poll list, but if they register, we issue them a certification that they would bring to the polls to show that they came to City Hall and registered and that they are allowed to vote. They don't have to re-register.
Well, Diane, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you, Kate. I did enjoy this.
Diane Conan is president of the Wisconsin Municipal Clerks Association. She's also the city clerk for the city of Oconomowoc. This is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to the Ideas Network.